Today is the World Day of the Sick. Very fittingly chosen for this date because it's also the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and the shrine in Lourdes is famous for miraculous cures. So World Day of the Sick on a day when we honor Mary coming and offering relief from sickness. When it comes to the World Day of the Sick, I think we have to avoid some common mistakes. One is that sickness is not necessarily the fault of the person who's sick. Sometimes it is, but very often people get sick through no fault of their own, and that's why it's not right to put some kind of a judgment on people who are sick, as if that's their fault. If they had done something differently, or had eaten the right foods, or stayed away from some bacteria, they wouldn't be sick. That's no way to think about sick people. The other error that is also common, especially when it comes to praying for healing, is to think that if people aren't healed, it's their own fault, as if they didn't have enough faith or something like that. That's not the right way to think of sickness either. If you think of the phenomenon of miraculous healings, including at the shrine in Lourdes, you know that by far most people are not cured when they go to Lourdes. By far, most people have the same sickness when they leave as when they arrive. Just like in Jesus' own ministry, he didn't cure everybody in the world when he was walking this earth. Now, we had a gospel the other day where it said everybody who touched the tassel of his cloak was cured. Everybody was cured. But that was all the people in the region around the northern coastline of the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't everybody. If God wanted to cure everybody, he would. And he could do it right now. But he doesn't. So sickness is not in itself the big problem that we think that it is. I mean, it's a burden for sure, and we are right to pray for healing. But if people don't get healed, it's not blame for them or blame for us. We have to submit ourselves to the mysterious providence of God. You might have read the little note in the Animum Way about this day, World Day of the Sick, instituted by St. John Paul II, as a special time of prayer and sharing, of offering one's suffering for the good of the church, and of reminding us to see in our sick brother and sister the face of Christ, who by suffering, dying, and rising achieved the salvation of humankind. It doesn't say anything about healing. So my default position is that World Day of the Sick is to pray for the healing of the sick. And it is for that, but that's not the only purpose of the World Day of the Sick. It's also to unite our sufferings with those of Christ for the good of the church. And to be reminded that those who are carrying the cross of sickness have a mission by that very experience of sickness. In our community here, in the last month, we journeyed for almost a month with this little baby who was in the hospital. Some of you saw it on the prayer chain. He was in Las Piñas Doctor's Hospital, 1-year-old baby. He had a terrible skin condition. His skin was turning red and it was peeling off. His whole body was swollen and peeling, looked horrible. So that was some kind of a terrible infection. And then when that infection was treated by some strong antibiotics, he had another bacterial infection that needed a different antibiotic. And then he had another bacterial infection, needed a different antibiotic. And the child was so full of antibiotics, he was getting sick from the antibiotics. And then he got another bacterial infection that he didn't have when he went into the hospital. He got it when he was in the hospital. So it was a very delicate situation for a moment there. They thought he might have meningitis and sepsis could go to the brain. And it was a dangerous journey. Well, we're giving thanks to God that the child has recovered almost completely. So that's an answer to our prayers. But we couldn't demand of God that he healed that child right away. We prayed for him every day. He didn't get cured every day, but eventually he recovered. Why am I mentioning this example? Because it was an example of journeying with the sick, accompanying the sick. help, of course, the child doesn't have any conscious understanding of what's going on. He certainly has a fear of doctors now, but and needles. But the child doesn't know the value of sickness or the how to unite his sufferings with those of Christ. He's only 1 year old. But the parents, the family, and everybody who knew the situation was journeying with that child, participating in this mystery of the cross. Let's take a look at today's gospel, which is related to this issue about sickness and holiness. Here, Jesus makes what would have been quite a shocking statement, that what defiles a person is not what comes in from outside, but what comes from within. Now, if you were raised in a Jewish culture and you knew that certain foods were unclean, and that if you ate them, you would be defiled, and that certain utensils and certain practices had to be avoided because they were unclean, and if you touched them, you would be unclean. If you were raised in that, you would have very deep in your psyche that some things make people unclean, that some things, some foods defile you. And here Jesus, in a revolutionary reversal, says that basically foods don't defile you at all. He declared all foods clean. But there is a defilement, and it comes from inside, from the heart. Now, since we're talking about sickness, we know that there are bacteria, and there are viruses, and there are different agents that are introduced from outside, and that's what usually is what makes us sick. That's why people wear masks, as you're doing right now. I mean, why wear masks? Well, it's to protect yourself and to protect others, so that your sickness doesn't go to other people and other people's sicknesses don't get taken into you. Okay, we understand that there are agents, even if they're microscopic, that cause illness. So things that come from outside. We also know there are illnesses that mysteriously start inside. Cancers are probably the best example. It doesn't happen because of something came from outside. For some reason, cancerous cells start to multiply inside. It's very mysterious. But Jesus is saying what comes from outside is not what makes us sick, or is not what defiles us. You see, the distinction is between physical illness, which is caused very often by outside agents, and moral illness or spiritual sickness, which is not caused by anything that happens from outside. Our moral condition is based on our own heart. We make ourselves sick, if you want to put it that way. When we sin, it's because we ourselves chose to be sick. That's the real defilement. When I describe things like this, people sometimes disagree and they say, no, I wouldn't have sinned if he hadn't attacked me. I wouldn't have blown up if he hadn't blown up at me. Or I wouldn't have sinned if that circumstance hadn't been so oppressive to me or so attractive to me or whatever. So in other words, people say, well, no, it's because of the circumstance that I sinned. And it is irrelevant. Those are relevant factors, but they're not causes. So if someone sins against you, it doesn't mean you have to sin against him or her. Or if you see something on the internet that leads you into sin, you can't blame the internet. You blame your own inability to resist the temptation. Or if somebody presents you with money or illicit gain of some kind, or someone provokes you to anger because of their disobedience or their injustice, remember that all of those outside circumstances are not the cause. They're just factors. And what really defiles us is our own decision to do something outside the will of God. That's what sin is. And that's what defiles us. If you want to think about sin in relation to sickness, you know that we have a sacrament for the sick, the anointing of the sick, and we have prayers for the sick, as we're going to do after the Mass. The holy water from Lourdes is a sacramental that's used for healing, and many people get cured through these means, but not all. But we also have sacraments for dealings with spiritual sickness, and they always work. A good confession heals all the defilement of sin. No matter how bad the infection is, no matter how serious the sin is, a good confession is a guaranteed cure. You can see that the church, well, the Lord, has much more concern about spiritual conditions than physical conditions. He's not worried about whether we eat the right foods or not so much. He's worried about the condition of our soul. I have friends who never eat meat because, for various reasons, vegetarians. I have friends who only eat meat for various reasons. Complete opposites. Which one is right? I don't know if either of them is right, but it doesn't make that much difference unless they're doing it for evil reasons. The question is, what's going on in the heart? What choices are being made for or against the will of God? That's the real defilement. That's why Jesus in this gospel speaks about what comes from the heart. And he has quite a list. Evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. It's like an opportunity for us to examine our conscience. Oh, where am I arrogant? Where am I malicious? When am I deceitful? When am I falling into greed? Where are my evil thoughts? And I can't say someone else caused that. I did that because I didn't resist the temptation, or I didn't watch out for what was happening in my emotional life or my relationships, my use of time. That's my own responsibility. So that's for all of us. So as we pray for the sick, we're not only praying for the cure of the sick, we're praying for the holiness of the sick. Well, we're all sick. We're all sick to one degree or another. And our deepest desire, which is God's deepest desire, is for our holiness. The ultimate restoration is to be made holy. If you think about people in heaven who are holy, they have neither physical sicknesses nor moral sicknesses. They're completely cured. And that's the destination we keep our eyes on. Yes, probably some sickness will cause our death eventually. And if we understand it properly, that's an opportunity for us to go to heaven. But if we have sin that we're not repenting of, then we're blocking our own opportunity to go to heaven. And that's why it's much more important to be free from sin than to be free from physical sicknesses. Okay, so on this feast day, I didn't talk at all about Our Lady of Lourdes, which is a story I love very much, but we don't have time. We ask also the intercession of Saint Bernadette, the very beautiful and innocent and pure, straightforward, simple young girl. She was 14 years old when Mary appeared to her. And she was the instrument through which Mary gave this message of repentance and prayer and healing. And so now Lourdes, the whole message of Lourdes and the Shrine of Lourdes, it remains for us a great source. It's a spiritual powerhouse. But anyway, that's for another day. We can reflect on that. As we go to the grotto today, we ask the intercession of Our Lady of Lourdes and of Saint Bernadette for our physical and spiritual, especially spiritual healing.